Poet and writing professor Jericho Brown tells us that if you see a poet this month, give them a hug because they're busy. He's referring, of course, to National Poetry Month. Brown was just on a whirlwind of readings and classes in New York last week, and he's headed back out on the road soon. But he took some time from his busy schedule to pay us a visit and talk to producer Mike Johns about what he's working on and about the illustrious fellowship he recently received.
Jericho Brown, you've just been awarded a Guggenheim Fellowship.
Yeah.
What does that entail?
What does it entail? So it's a fellowship that I'll have for 1 year. It's a fellowship that recognizes sort of a poet's work in the middle of their career. It recognizes that the poet has done some work to show potential and that that potential is on its way upward. And it's a really huge honor for me because it's, for me, it's a, it's sort of like a bit of a vindication, you know. When you decide to be an artist, you're told over and over again how impossible that is. And so when you get something like a Guggenheim Fellowship and the recognition that comes with that, you begin to feel like, oh, wait, I was right. I really am a poet. And I've been a poet for some time, obviously. I have two books. I've won other awards and prizes. I teach poetry at a university.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sort of like icing on the cake is what it means for me. But I think what it might mean for other people is that they're coming to know my work better. The work is coming to a wider audience. I get to come on radio shows like this one, and I get to read my poems and talk about my work and talk about what I love to talk about.
Now, you mentioned university. You teach creative writing at Emory University. You're under former U.S. Poet Laureate Natasha Trethewey.
Yeah.
What was it that attracted you to the medium of writing poetry?
Well, poetry is... in particular, is attractive to me because it's the conversation that the self has with the self. It's a way one can talk to himself without being crazy. It's very similar to what we think of as prayer in that way. It has a lot to do with meditating on what your ideas are and finding the exact and perfect language for those ideas. And speaking to yourself or to your higher self in a way so that you can see those ideas made anew. What I love about poetry is that it is the art form that tries to get at truth by tying it to metaphor. It tries to get at truth by seeing things in the world to tie truth down. You know, it wants to make something like something else in order for us to understand that first something much better, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. When I was a little kid, I was attracted to poems, to be honest with you, just because they were short. I would spend all this time in the library, and I remember going through the bookshelves, and I would open a book, and I would be excited about the fact that before I knew it, I was 10 pages in. You know, that wouldn't happen with a book of prose. That wouldn't happen with a novel. You see all that text on a novel and you feel so intimidated when you're 8 years old. You see that in a book of poems and you feel like, oh, I can do this. I can knock this out. And I love that experience. I also love the line breaks. I love the fact that at the end of the line, there was so much doubt. You didn't know what was coming. You didn't know what was next. You didn't know what had just happened. There's a certain kind of uncertainty in poetry, and I feel really attracted to that because that is what our lives are actually like. I mean, poems are not Hallmark cards. They're not all happy and all dandy, but they're not all sad and all dour either. What poems do is they take these two very different sides of life and they try to marry them because we are beings who are full of joy just as we are beings who are full of certain kinds of sadnesses. And that's what I really love about poems.
Yeah. So with the funding from the Guggenheim Fellowship that is helping you to complete a work that you're currently like in progress on called Character, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that book.
Well, I call the book Character. It's a book I'm working on, and I call it Character because the book started being sort of these meditations on art and literature, but ultimately on characters from movies that I liked, or actors and actresses. And the book itself is sort of taking a look at our American obsession with celebrity. Why are we so excited by people? Because they did a job that they do. Why do we want to TMZ them to death? Why do we want to follow these people around? Why do we want to know what they're wearing and what lotion they use? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. What is that about? And so that's part of what the poems interrogate. But because I was dealing with image in that way, many of the poems start looking at the other way images come through us through mass media. So for instance, many of the images that we've been seeing of police brutality recently, we know that these things have been going on for a very long time, but now they can be broadcast to us via Twitter and Facebook and the television in a different way because we all carry little video phones with us, right? So part of the book is doing that as well. And just trying to make sense of this very strange world in which we live. An example of a poem is a poem in which I ask the question, you know, why is it that in every Sandra Bullock movie, she falls in love with a man that she hates at first? You know, you know, that's like the theme of almost every romantic comedy. These two people that should not be together, get together, and we're supposed to be happy about it and giggle about it at the end. So the book sort of questions that, and it's interested in those things.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you can share with us from Character?
Yeah, I actually did bring a poem that will be in the book. This poem, I think, speaks to some of the violence that I was talking about, some of the police brutality. It's a poem that I wrote after the death of Sandra Bland, and in honor of people like Jesus Huerta and Tyrone White, and a long list of people who died and supposedly committed suicide while in police custody. Bullet points. I will not shoot myself in the head, and I will not shoot myself in the back. And I will not hang myself with a trash bag. And if I do, I promise you, I will not do it in a police car while handcuffed or in the jail cell of a town I only know the name of because I have to drive through it to get home. Yes, I may be at risk, but I promise you, I trust the maggots and the ants and the roaches who live beneath the floorboards of my house to do what they must to any carcass more than I trust an officer of the law of the land to shut my eyes like a man of God might, or to cover me with a sheet so clean my mother could have used it to tuck me in. When I kill me, I will kill me. The same way most Americans do, I promise you, cigarette smoke, or a piece of meat on which I choke, or so broke I freeze in one of these winters we keep calling worst. I promise that if you hear of me dead anywhere near a cop, then that cop killed me. He took me from us and left my body, which is, no matter what we've been taught, greater than the settlement a city can pay a mother to stop crying, and more beautiful than the brand new shiny bullet fished from the folds of my brain.
Well, that was really incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah. You talked about how a poem is often trying to marry two disparate ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And this book that you're working on, Character, seems to be marrying these disparate ideas of celebrity,
mm-hmm.
and acts of oppression and brutality that people of color are still experiencing every day. How mm-hmm. where is the common ground between those two ideas?
Well, that's an interesting question, and that's part of why I'm fascinated by it, and part of what I'm trying to figure out. I know that in particular, what I think happens in this poem, the common ground or the place where things meet, is that somewhere between someone's death, before they are killed, before they become either a statistic or before they're used as a hashtag or before they are used for propaganda, they're somebody's son. You know, they're somebody's daughter. We all are somebody's son and daughter. Many of us have sons and daughters. And there are things that we want for our children. There are things that our parents want for us. And one of those things is that we might be able to move freely in the world without fear, without a certain kind of unnecessary fear. You know, and you know this, but I have this weird thing where I feel as if people think we're making it up when we say that we have a conversation with our parents at some point. You get to a certain age and you're pretty much told to beware of police officers, and you're told that you should beware because you are Black. And that is you know, that's a very scary place to be in. And I don't think anybody should be having to have that conversation. But that's one of the ways in which we have to survive in this country. And everybody seems to, either they don't believe it happens or they think it's okay.
Yeah. And I mean, me sitting here as I'm part Asian, Caucasian passing, I never had that conversation with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it was necessary for me to have that conversation with my parents.
But I think the thing that's important is whether or not you have to have the conversation, you have felt fear before.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Whether or not you've had the conversation, you have someone that you care about that you want to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know that they can go off to the bowling alley or they can go hang out with their friends and they're going to come back just as whole as they left. And the way for us to know that, that I can have that, that you can have that, that all of us can have that, that's part of what poems, I think, provide, right? They take a personal experience and they find commonality within their personal experience that everyone has.
Like we said before, you teach writing at Emory University, and I'm curious about the role of the writer and the experience of working as a writer in a university system.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I think part of what you're supposed to be doing if you're a writer is questioning everything. And that's a hard place to be in when you are affiliated with an institution, because mm-hmm. institutions are about establishing things. They're not necessarily about questioning things. They're not about skepticism. They are about putting something down on the floor and making sure it lasts, right? But I think that what Emory University at least allows me to do is to work with young people where part of what we say is going to last is the questions. The agreement that I make with my colleagues at Emory, the other professors who teach there and who work and write there, and the agreement that I make with my students is that no matter what, we're going to use the language to make sure that we get at some moral and ethical truth, that we're going to use the language that we're excavating to make sure that we are indeed telling our whole truths and not hiding behind something, not making excuses for ourselves, because one thing that we all know about art is that ultimately it makes us think, which is to say it makes us uncomfortable. It changes our location. It changes where we are. It expands us. It asks something of us. We know this from, like I was saying, when we go to a movie, the movies we really love, part of the reason we love them is because we feel different after we have seen them. We feel ourselves changing while we are watching them. We start having ideas that we didn't have before. They give us things to talk about for years after we have seen the movie. Poems do that too. Visual art does that. Dance does that. And I just happen to have two left feet. So I'm not a dancer and I can't draw to save my life. So I'm a poet. You know, I have some facility with language, so I'm a poet. And part of what I really want to do with poetry is bring things to a place where people read my poems and they start asking questions about the status quo. Because all art either supports or questions the status quo. And I'm much more interested in questioning it than I am in supporting it.
Yeah. Well, Jericho Brown, thank you so much for sharing your work with us and sitting down and taking the time to talk.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me.